broadcasting statewide on the Golf Club Network, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
And you are in the clubhouse. It's May 11th, a gorgeous day, wherever you happen to be. In the clubhouse this morning, Ron Cyrak is joining us from the Players. Dr. Joe Parent, Michael Patrick Shields, and Laird Small joining as well. But first, we need to thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Acura of Honolulu. Now more than ever, choosing an Acura just makes sense. With this much traffic, you should ride in comfort. Introducing the Acura RLX and RLX Advance. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, visually stunning. Nature and Robert Trent Jones Jr. conspired to create a stunning venue for golfers of all abilities. A unique and unforgettable golf experience. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Jam. And Star Protection. Get your property threat and risk assessment, then protection for your home or business, for your concert or special event, like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California.
Ron Cyrak, golf writer, executive editor, Golf World. Find his columns at golfdigest.com. Author with Vision 54. He's at the Players Championship at TPC Sawgrass. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning, Danielle. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. What a day. I mean, an amazing week, I should say. A day after the World Golf Hall of Fame inducts a new class, Hall of Famer Vijay Singh sues the PGA Tour for embarrassing him over the deer antler spray. The suit is filed the week of the PGA Tour's flagship event, the Players' Championship, where Tiger Woods and Sergio Garcia are the final pairing today, and Rory McIlroy, Lee Westwood, Hunter Mahan, all in the hunt at the Players. Now, I thought any one of those things, the World Golf Hall of Fame induction class, Vijay Singh, anything, we could have talked for hours on these subjects, but it's just an amazing package. And speaking of package, you've been writing, what, six or seven columns in the past week? And then you have the cover story on Golf World with Dottie Pepper. What a week. Is this a major? I
mean, well, it certainly produced major news, and the Vijay stuff just really, really, really came out of nowhere. It was just a total blindside for all of us. And then to be handed what is shaping up to be a really, really good leaderboard. I just tweeted a little while ago, we've got three major winners on the leaderboard, Woods, Scott, and Zach Johnson. And we've got three people who are on the short list of the best players never to win a major, in Garcia and Westwood and Kuchar. Should be a great weekend.
The best players who never win a major, a whole new category. Yeah. That's good. Can we just talk a little bit about the weather for a second? I mean, it seems to be the trend this past 8 months or so, or maybe the past year or so, to evacuate the media center for some reason. Do you have heavy weather coming in this afternoon?
Well, we have starting about 5 o'clock this afternoon, which will be about right around the time the leaders are making the turn, we have a 50% chance of thunderstorms. And again, as I tweeted just a little while ago, this, the way things have been going on the PGA Tour this year, a 50% chance is pretty much a sure thing. I mean, we had the wind in Hawaii, we had fog at Torrey Pines, we had snow in Tucson, we had a microburst at the Arnold Palmer Invitational that twice the media center has been evacuated this year, both New Orleans and Orlando. It's been a tough year for weather.
Yeah, it has been. We have to play no matter what the conditions, except when it gets really radical. Then we have to leave the course, and thunder, of course, lightning being the triggers. Let's go back to the Tiger Woods and Sergio Garcia, the match that's going to be played this afternoon in the final pairing. Now, much has been made about Sergio Garcia winning in 2007 at TPC Sawgrass, the Players Championship, when he said, and this has been said so many times, I'm afraid I'm going to sound like a broken record, "I'm glad Tiger Woods wasn't here." Is Sergio Garcia, is his game, is his mind ready to take on Tiger Woods?
Well, I think that Sergio is one of those players that Tiger pretty much owns. And their head-to-head record is not good for Sergio. I did my column yesterday saying that I think it all stems from 2000 when they played the Battle of Bighorn, a major TV event, and Tiger had just won the PGA Championship, just won the NEC Invitational, flew from Ohio back to California, had the flu, was exhausted. Sergio beats him on the last hole and acted like he'd won a major championship, like he'd won the U.S. Open. And you could see the smoke coming out of Tiger's ears. And, you know, Tiger has a long memory, and he also finds motivation in more places than any athlete I've ever seen. I fully expect him to go out and show Sergio a little something this afternoon.
Okay, but you also said in your column that Tiger Woods doesn't care who he's beating. It doesn't matter whether it's Sergio. It could be anybody. He just wants to win.
That's pretty much true, but if you look at the times when people have said unfortunate things to him, Stephen Ames is one, and I believe he beat him 9-8 in the match play, something like that. Rory Sabatini is one. If somebody does something to Tiger, can in some way construe as a sign of disrespect, he does use that as extra motivation. But I do think right now, when Tiger is playing really, really well, and he's really close to playing really, really well right now, he doesn't care who the other person is teeing the ball up with him.
And Tiger twirling like the at the orchestra, the baton, that was very nice. So he's really happy. He seems very comfortable with himself, in love with his game and his life.
Yeah, you know, he said after yesterday's round that that he's doing everything well, that he's driving it well, hitting good irons, making putts. He does seem to be a little happier than he has been over the last couple of years. He started the week by going to New York for the sort of the Emmy Awards of the fashion industry at the Metro Museum of Art, and he was there with Lindsey Vonn, the skier, who is his new girlfriend, and he does seem to have a little bit of peace in his life right now.
Let's go to the TPC Sawgrass, the course itself. We're talking about people going up against one another, but bottom line is, it's the course that they're going to be playing against. Who's the most comfortable at TPC Sawgrass? Is it Sergio or is it Tiger Woods?
You know, it's funny because both Sergio and Tiger they both have won here once, but they don't have a very good overall record. Tiger really has not contended here since he won in 2001. Because if you look, the winner of the Players' Championship virtually every year is in the top five in both driving accuracy and hitting greens in regulation. So it's not a golf course. Pete Dye is all about angles. He's all about you've got to put the ball in the fairway off the tee and you've got to hit the green. The chipping areas are really severe. There were only two players who were in the top 20 in both driving accuracy and greens in regulation coming into this tournament. And that's Branch Snedeker and Heinrich Stenson. And Stenson, who's a past winner here too, is sitting tied for third right now. Kuchar's another guy who plays a very, very controlled game. I think in Woods and Garcia, what you're seeing is they figured out, and I haven't seen Garcia play as much the first 2 days as I have Woods, but both Woods and Rory McIlroy are hitting virtually no drivers in this golf course. There's maybe three holes of a hitting driver. But they're just standing there, and their concern is put the ball in play off the tee. On Thursday, Tiger hit 5-wood off the tee on number 18 and left himself 192 yards in. I think that's a smart play for him.
Hmm. Pete Dye likes par fours, four of them, doesn't he, when he designs a course? And these... I'm sorry.
I mean, no, and what Pete likes to do is put trouble on both sides. Alternate shot. And like the par fives bend both directions. You know, you got to move the ball right to left on one, you got to move it left to right on another. An ideal Pete Dye hole would be he wants you to hit a drive off the tee and a fade off the fairway. He wants to see if you can work the ball both ways. And now, that said, the times when long hitters have come in here, and if you have a great driving lead, you can overpower this golf course the way Greg Norman did in 1994.
Ron Syra, Golf World Executive Editor, and you can read him at golfdigest.com. He puts out a lot of articles during these major events, and one of them is if McIlroy has learned how to play stadium course, watch out. Now, it's refreshing to see McIlroy in the media center, seeing him talk on television. He's got that like you said, you know, the kid next door, happy face. And he seems to have learned to put the driver away and not use it at this TPC Sawgrass. Do you think he's learned? Is he going to be in contention this weekend?
Yeah, you know, he shot 66 on Thursday, and that's the first time that he's broken par in this tournament. And he's played this tournament three previous times and missed the cut all three times and never broke par. But it does seem like he finally figured out that this is not a golf course you attack. This is a golf course that you lay back on, that you position, that you think you're golfing all around this golf course. And because the penalty when you miss here is a lot. It's very, very severe if you're playing from the rough, and it's very, very severe if you're trying to make up and downs around the green. I think he's figured it out. He's a smart guy. You know, the question that, where we stand with Rory right now is he too nice of a guy? Is he going to be tough enough to win when he doesn't have his A game? He's proven to us he can win with his A game. He won a U.S. Open by 8, and he won a PGA Championship by 8. He's got to show us that he can grind it out and be the gritty guy who wins when he's got his D game.
Right, slog it through. Now, what happened to Mickelson, Rose, Poulter? Rose, I was surprised.
We had a pretty good group of people who missed the cut this week. And, you know, it's funny because none of those guys, again, you know, Mickelson's won here, but his overall track record's not good. Justin Rose has a dreadful record here. There just seem to be some people who can't play this golf course and seem to be unwilling to do what Rory has done, which is change, you know, try playing it a different way.
It seems to be the best thing to do. Well, Phil, you never know what you're going to get with Phil. That's just the way he is. So it's not really that surprising. I thought Rose had gotten his game together. Justin is so talented, and he's been playing so well at the beginning of the season. I expected him to come on really strong over the summer, and as you say, this is a difficult course to play. You can't bomb it. You have to think it through. You have to think this course through. You can't just hit and go for target golf. On Vijay Singh missing the cut, I'm not really surprised about that, but I'd like to ask you, you tweeted something about how the danger of Vijay Singh filing suit against the PGA Tour is that everything in his personal life is going to come out because it becomes fair game. It's going to go, the PGA Tour will ask for anything it wants because they'll say it's case related. It was interesting you said, much like what happened to John Daly. Daly then tweets, "This is a really bad idea, Vijay. Don't do it. I know."
Yep. Exactly. John Daly sued a newspaper for libel, and in the course of discovery for that case, his PGA Tour personnel file had to be made available to the lawyers, and that's the first time we found out exactly how many times John Daly had been suspended. PGA Tour does not make public punishments that they levy against their players, fines or suspension. They don't tell us about that. You know, if there's ever been any action taken against Vijay in his life, it will come out in trial. Also, he would probably be asked about the incident in the 1985 Indonesian Open when he was suspended indefinitely by the Asia Tour because he allegedly changed a number on his scorecard in order to make the cut. That would come up. Now, all that said, I don't think this case is ever going to see the inside of a courtroom. I think there are also questions the PGA Tour does not want to answer under oath. And one of those questions would be, if I'm Vijay's lawyer, I say, are there any other players who have ever been given drug-related suspensions? And I think that that's a question that the PGA Tour won't want to answer.
Okay. I think the Olympics started testing for drugs in 1972. Drug testing on an international level is normal. It's de rigueur. You go, you pee, you give your cup, you get, and they test it. It's no big deal anymore. It doesn't seem to be the case that the PGA Tour players acknowledge that this is not an invasion of privacy. This is just the way it is on an international arena, or in an international arena. And you're playing an Olympic game soon, fellas, ladies. So isn't it time that you kind of got used to it? And it you know, embarrassing. It all seems silly to me grow up already is kind of the way I feel about this drug testing and this whole suit. And Vijay Singh, did you think he came up with this idea to sue, or is this somebody's advice to him?
It's really hard to figure out what the motivation is here. I mean, the only motivation I can come up with is vindictiveness, you know, because here's a guy who's won $67.5 million in winnings on the PGA Tour, second all-time behind Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson, and probably has a deferred income plan, and the PGA Tour players have probably the greatest pension plan on the planet. He probably has about $25 million in his deferred income plan. So you're talking, okay, that's $100 million that he's earned directly from the PGA Tour, not including all the endorsement money that he's and design money from Architect Design that he's made over the years because of his stature that he achieved being a PGA Tour member. It's hard to figure out what the motivation is.
It's very strange. It's very strange. Okay. I'm just curious how they're going to go forward and handle what they decide is illegal, what they decide. The fact that deer antler spray doesn't have enough of the IGF-1 in it to make it actually do something for you. It's just, there's so much gray area here right now. It's very uncomfortable. It needs to be black and white so they know what they're dealing with. And they need to get used to the fact that they're going to be drug testing, period. I sense that, do you have a dark horse? Do you see somebody coming out of the pack that you think has a chance to take this field?
Ryan Palmer. He's a good player. He's won tournaments. He's sitting tied for sixth right now. He had a friend that died in a car crash a couple of days ago, and he's sort of playing on a special bit of motivation here. Mm-hmm. And he'd be the guy I'd look at as our possible surprise winner.
Okay, your cover story on Dottie Pepper. Her motivation for leaving television. What a great life she's living right now. But you think she'll go back into TV, possibly?
I think she'll go back into TV on a limited basis, like maybe do the major championships and maybe the Ryder Cup, you know, three or four times a year. What NBC and Golf Channel wanted from her was a commitment to do 32 tournaments a year, and she does not want to be on the road 32 weeks a year. And, you know, she has come home not only to move back to upstate New York to live in her hometown, Saratoga Springs, a town of 25,000 people, but has taken a three-year unpaid position on the board of the PGA of America to specifically try to work with Grow the Game programs and with junior golf.
Yeah, she was great. I loved talking with her when she was on with Mary B. Porter King. Wonderful, wonderful woman, and her enthusiasm for growing the game is infectious. It's a great cover, a great story, excellently written. Mr. Cyrak, thank you for being on the show. I sense you need to get back to work because there's a lot going on at the Players' Championship, TPC Sawgrass. Thank you for taking time out of your very busy schedule for being on the show. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, and you can probably check later. I think you can pretty much bet that my column today will be about Sergio Garcia and Tiger Woods.
You'll be following him.
I'll be walking with them.
All right. Great. Great to hear. Have a great day, and we'll be back right after this with Dr. Joe Parent. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded. Property guard and patrol services. Loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911. Or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
It was our office manager's birthday, and she loves golf. So we decided to get together for golf at Poipu Bay, and we invited a bunch of our customers. It turned into a party. The clubhouse restaurant made a fabulous lunch. The customers had a great time and met the people they give orders to. They were golf buddies long before the 19th hole. Golf at Poipu Bay. Family, friends, business, and fun at Poipu Bay Golf Course on Kauai's South Shore. Spectacular. Call 742-8711 and book your tee time, get together, or event at Poipu Bay. That's 742-8711. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem.
It's the Golf Club. Visit our website at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor links. That's www.radiogolfclub.com. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Okay, Poipu Bay has a great tee time for everybody. Okay, but for if you're a couple and you just the two of you want to play, they have the tee for two deal for couples. Basically, it's 50% off. Okay, a great time to play Poipu Bay Golf Course. Now, for Mother's Day, we've got a phone line open. Dr. Joe Parent is coming up. You got to call 808-296-5467 because you could give mom a Mother's Day gift, a round of golf at Poipu Bay. And if you are the ninth caller and you're doing that for mom, you're doing all this for mom, right? You also win, yeah, TaylorMade rocket balls. So all you got to do is call 808-296-5467. You get the round of golf at Poipu Bay and the TaylorMade rocket balls if you are caller number nine. Let's bring in to the clubhouse Dr. Joe Parent. Welcome to the show. It's so good to have you.
Good morning, Danielle.
From Ojai. Are you in Ojai, beautiful Ojai?
I am. Beautiful here.
I bet it is. Dr. Parent has a new book. It's called How to Make Every Putt. How to Make Every Putt, The Secret to Winning. Dr. Parent, of course, has coached Christy Kerr, Vijay Singh, worked with Julie Engster, David Toms, Hall of Fame athletes, celebrities, and CEOs. Mastering the mental and physical challenges in the art of putting and unlocking the secrets to stress-free putting. Just some of the things that came up, but I've got to start this conversation with you by saying this was an interesting section one. It starts off with how to make every putt. Well, that's the name of the book, I thought to myself.
That's right.
Right? How to make every putt. Okay, fine. So Jack Nicklaus once commented that he had never missed a crucial putt on the last hole of a tournament. When someone in the audience reminded him of a specific situation in which he had missed a putt, Nicklaus replied, "I didn't miss that putt. I made the putt. The ball missed the hole." I think that's a perfect place to start. What do you mean, how to make every putt? It's not possible.
That is it. Well, as Jack said, he made the putt, but the ball missed the hole. I changed the definition of making a putt. You know, when you hear on TV, most, you know, and they say a makeable putt, and they talk about making a putt, usually the definition is the ball going in the hole. I'm changing that definition. The ball going in the hole is holing the putt or sinking the putt. Making the putt is doing what you can control, and that is if you got it started on the line you wanted, at the pace you wanted, off the sweet spot of your putter with a nice end-over-end roll, you made your putt. That's all you can do. After that, all you can just root for it. and if you happen to read it right and the green surface didn't send it offline, then you also hold the putt. You're not going to, it's very unlikely that you're going to hold every putt, but you can make every putt.
That's
the real key to the game.
I like that. Doing what you can, what you can control. And then, I mean, the rest is really up to that blade of grass that might get in your way. I mean, you can't do anything about that. You can clean the surface as much as is allowable, right? You can, and you can do everything. And then once you've struck the ball perfectly, assuming that you're capable of doing that because you've practiced, everything comes down to repeatability and doing things over and over again. If you haven't played in a long time, don't expect it to be perfect for you, you know, that contact that you were talking about coming off the club face end over end. You have seven sections in this book that I think really breaks it down. Confidence, green reading, speed, stroke, putting routine, challenging putts, continuous improvement. We can talk a little bit about each of those sections, but I think what makes this book so exciting for the video age, where everybody's on YouTube, is you have these QR codes. Now, what are QR codes for people who...
Well, they're little squares with a lot of little black and white squares inside of them. And when you get a free app, there are a variety of free apps for QR code readers on a smartphone or other device. And you scan that little code at the end of the chapter, and it takes you to a video on my website or YouTube that demonstrates the exercise or the point that I'm trying to make, or gives you a drill to do that's related to that chapter. There are 20 of them in the book.
If you get the ebook version,
there's just a link that you just click right on in your Kindle or iPad or whatever device you have, and it will take you right to again to that same video.
It's marvelous. So not only does he write, like, I like this, read with your feet. The exercise is written out for you, what you need to do, and then the QR code comes up. Well, actually, with read with your feet, I don't see one, but the one, go to school.
Right.
Most golfers know it's time to go to school when a fellow competitor is putting before them on a similar line. Means carefully watching the way the other ball's putt rolls in order to get more information. Y'all need to do that. Okay, pay very close attention to the people putting before you. And there's the QR code right there, so that you scan that, and, you know, these are like those codes that you see in grocery stores, and they say, you want to know
the
price?
Exactly right.
Right? Okay. Gives you more about the product. This will give you a video showing you what Dr. Parent is talking about. And we're talking about how to make every putt. The secret to winning. Golf's game within the game. And he breaks it down for you, as we were talking at the beginning. How to make every putt isn't about holding the putt. It's about making the putt what you can control. Now, you start your sections, and I'm not sure if this is in order, the talking points that I got. Confidence. Gee whiz.
Yeah.
How do I practice confidence?
Well, that's the most important thing, you know, in putting. That's the distinguishing characteristic of great putters. They always have confidence in their ability, and they know they're not going to hole every putt, but they have confidence in their ability to get the putt started on their line. And once they do, that's really all they can control. Now, why is my definition of making a putt so important for confidence? The average percentage of hold putt on the PGA Tour from 8 feet is only 50%. If you say, well, I'm a professional golfer, but I miss half the putts from 8 feet, you're not going to be very confident if you focus on that outcome. But if you say, you know what, I can put a good roll on every putt, and if I read it well, then I'm going to make my percentages. And that's where the confidence comes from. The quality of your execution, not necessarily the results, because, you know, that's the way the ball bounces, and golf isn't a perfect game, and the green is not a perfect surface. So all you can do is accomplish what you can, and that is how you get the ball started.
Well, that's interesting, because I'm good on the putting surface, but what happens for me is I don't do it often enough. I don't have the time. I don't make the time. Something about time. And when I go back to the putting green and I'm preparing, I say to myself, I wonder if I'm setting up the way I did the last time when I had such a good round. I immediately plant this doubt in my mind. Am I doing this right, the way I did it before?
And there goes your confidence. So what I like people to do when they start on the putting green to warm up is putt to nowhere. Separate the variables. That's a really key part of my book, and it's a key part of what I consider the ideal routine for putting. And I have a section, I think it's called the best putting routine ever. And what you need to do is separate out the variables. So when you start to warm up, putt to nowhere, just practice putting a good roll on the ball, and you can use the line on the ball to see if it's rolling end over end or it's wobbling. And that, there's a chapter and an exercise in the book for that as well. So you want to start just by rolling the ball. then if you can put your putting to nowhere stroke on every putt, that's the, you just change the size of your stroke, but you make the same stroke every time.
The beauty of this book is that these chapters, is intimidating. Chapters, it's not. It's not a lengthy chapter. Putt without caring. I love that. Putt without caring is 2 pages. It's not even that, you know, 2 pages is saying it sounds long. It's not. It's 1 page with a Bobby Jones. Hit the putt as well as you can and do not allow worry over the outcome to spoil the stroke. Brilliance. Okay, so yes.
Danielle, I designed the book specifically so that every chapter is a maximum of 2 pages. Once you open the book, there's a chapter. Left side, right side. Next, you turn the page, there's one chapter. Left side, right side. So you never have to read a lot to get the point. And in this Twitter generation, people have shorter attention spans.
You know,
but I convey exactly what I want in 2 pages or less. It takes you 2 minutes or less to read a chapter, and you get the point.
Exactly. And that way, in this generation, the input that's coming into us, we're bombarded with information at a level that's never been seen by human brains before.
And, true.
Yes. And so we can take in information and grasp it. But that, you know, it's like that kernel. Okay, that's all I can take right now because I've got a gazillion other things coming at me.
That's right.
And so you have Putt Without Caring, and you read a couple of paragraphs. Then comes the exercise. Okay, I got this. I got the exercise. I can work on this. I can.
That's right.
That's perfect. You know, I can do this. This isn't going to overwhelm my senses. This isn't going to exhaust me. We're talking with Dr. Joseph Parent. He was the author of, you know, Zen Golf and Zen Putting. And now it's How to Make Every Putt, The Secret to Winning. You can get this, of course, at Amazon, but you also mentioned that it's in the e-book. How would I get the e-book version?
Well, the e-book version is available. The best thing to do is come to my website, which is zengolf.com. And if you come to zengolf.com, it'll take you to all the different formats, all the different online bookstores that you can get the book, either in the hardcover or in the ebook format. So come to zengolf.com, go to the golf shop on that site, and you're all set.
Perfect. Okay. The Secret to Visualization in Putting. I think there's a quote in here where Jack Nicklaus, you use him again, where he says, there wasn't a putt that I didn't see go in.
Well, he said, I never stroked a putt until I saw that I'd already made it in my mind.
Okay.
So you want to imagine, I have a good friend, Craig Farnsworth, who's an eye doctor and a specialist in putting, as well as how you use your eyes. And what
I like his
technique. Yeah, that's right. And I use his technique of moving your eyes along the line at real-time speed. Imagine how the ball would roll in real-time speed. So it leaves the putter, it's going its fastest, then it slows down a little at the middle, and then it slows down a lot as it's breaking into the hole at the end. And you see the whole path in real-time that way. Jack Nicklaus talked about all of his shots. He liked to stand behind the shot and say he was going to the movies. He pictured himself making the swing or making the stroke and how the ball traveled and how it ended up. And that's really what I want you to do. If you can't imagine yourself making the stroke, at least picture the ball rolling from where it is along your line and into the hole. And specifically the point on the hole that it rolls over the edge. Not necessarily the point that's facing you. Maybe it's I prefer that they go in on the high side. And picture the ball going in as high on the hole as you can. So you play for as much break as you can to have the ball still reach the hole.
And you make your eyes follow that line as though you were following the ball before you struck the ball. So you
rolling in real time. And that gives you both the line and your sense of pace.
Interesting. Now, see, a lot of people say, okay, I'm pretty good striking the ball. You know, I get an, it comes off the center with a sweet spot, and I get the ball rolling. But it's reading those greens that I have such trouble with. What do you suggest?
Well, I have a whole section of the book on that. I think it's called Those Are the Breaks.
And
we talk about reading the green, and as Nicholas said, I know I have a lot of quotes from Jack. I also have a lot from Bobby Jones and Bobby Locke, some of the great, and Ben Crenshaw, the great putters. And Jack said, I start reading the greens 50 yards away from the green. And that means is you want to see the lay of the land and understand the overall slope. Then you bring it down and look the area around the green and how the overall surface is sloped, if at all, back to front, left to right, or right to left. And then you start tuning into the hole. And the most important read is the last 3 or 4 feet, because that's when the ball is going the slowest. You know, when the ball starts off the putter face, it's going its fastest. Then on a long putt, it's going fast enough that it's going to defy gravity, kind of the way in roulette,
yes.
The ball rolls around the edge of the wheel and defies gravity until it slows down. And then it falls into the slot. In the same way, your putt's going fastest at the beginning. It's going to break a little more at the middle. It's the last 3 or 4 feet where the break is really going to affect it a lot.
Interesting. Okay. I'm ready. I'm taking this to the course tomorrow with me.
Wonderful.
There's no harm in taking the book to the course with me. In fact, see, then I can just scan it. And if I get there earlier than my friends do, I use the QR code and I can watch the video and I can really then start visualizing. I can see what you're doing. Some people, they learn better seeing something demonstrated, right? So I'm reading. I can see the demonstration. I can putt outside the box.
And here's the technique that I'd like to suggest. You know, on smartphones, videos take a little bit of time to load. So scan, when you see a chapter with a QR code at the end, scan the code and start the video loading. Then read the chapter. And by the time you're done with the chapter, a minute and a half, the video will be ready to roll, and then you can watch the demonstration.
I love this. This is a great book, How to Make Every Putt, The Secret to Winning Golf's Game Within the Game, Dr. Joseph Parent, author of the best-selling Zen Golf and Zen Putting. You can find this book, How to Make Every Putt, at zengolf.com. You can find all of his books and workshops and lots of stuff. You can have...
You know, I work with golfers all over the world using Skype.
Exactly.
And we have video lessons. I have a student in Norway, Australia, Japan, and South Africa. And Scotland. So I have worked with golfers all over the world using Skype, and it works great. It's almost like you're there in person.
It's exactly right. And he's, of course, available for speaking engagements as well. We're talking with Dr. Joe Parent. Absolutely. How to Make Every Putt the Secret to Winning Golf's Game Within the Game. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Danielle. And I know I appreciate how much you've supported Zen Golf about the whole game, and now we'll get people putting as well.
We'll get people putting. One of my favorite things to do. Somebody
right.
asked me which tool I was going to bring, and since I haven't played in a while, I was at. You know, I have a couple that someone sent me. They're very good, fine putters, but I don't have the confidence in that particular stick. And I said, no. I'm taking my old trusty.
take the old trusty putter and just.
Yes.
Put a good roll on the ball and then root for it.
And then root for it. Fabulous. Thanks for being on the show. We'll talk again soon. Okay, great. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. Oh, before I go, let me thank you, Heidi. Heidi from IAEA, you have won a round of golf at Poipu Bay Golf Course and rocket balls from TaylorMade to get around the course. This is the Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
Of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
The 2014 Acura RLX and RLX Advance. Go test drive this car at Acura Honolulu, 777 Ala Moana Boulevard. I want a tight turning radius. You'll get that in the Acura RLX. I want a responsive engine. You'll get that in the Acura RLX. And a smooth, quiet ride down Ala Moana Boulevard. You'll get that. It's so good on the nerves on Honolulu streets. But don't take my word. Test drive the 2014 Acura RLX. Call for an overnight test drive. You heard right. Call General Sales Manager TJ Jones for your appointment to visit Acura of Honolulu. Your time's valuable. Book it. Call 942-4555. Meet with TJ and the RLX expert. There is so much to Acura's RLX, where luxury meets high tech. Acura's flagship sedan. Take it home. Keep it overnight. See how it fits in your life. You heard right. Acura of Honolulu will wash and vacuum your current car while you're experiencing the Acura RLX. And when you bring it back, find out when you can take your Acura RLX or RLX Advance home. The number is 808-942-4555. His name is TJ. The car is the Acura RLX. It's an amazing car, and I'm not easily amazed.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
In case you'd forgotten, it's Mother's Day tomorrow. And, you know, to me, I have a son, and I know he loves me. And I'm not all that enamored with days. Father's Day, Mother's Day, Grandparents' Day, you know, it's kind of a greeting card holiday. And it's important to some people, and you know who those people are. All right, so if it's important to that person, then even though it feels like, oh my goodness, you know, don't you know I love you? You need to do something. All right, now, let's say you want to do something really special for this person. Whoever your mother is, okay, you maybe want to customize your Mother's Day surprise. Maybe you want to give them, let's say, the RLX Advance, because I'm telling you, if the person in your life, your mother or your grandmother, maybe she was your mother, if they're not as mobile as they'd like to be or they don't drive anymore, this car has a rear interior that is so comfortable. If they have a difficult time getting in and out of a car, this is perfect. This car is perfect. Okay. I asked, let me get in the back of that car. It's not like I have a hard time getting in and out. I don't mean it that way. I want to know how comfortable the passengers in my car are. And in this car, in the Acura RLX, really good, comfortable car. Okay. The RDX is also available. It's a great little car, okay? It's a little smaller, it's a little smart, it's sportier. You'll have fun in this car. But the deal is for Mother's Day is you can customize it. Let's say you take her out to dinner, lunch, brunch, whatever, breakfast, whatever her meal is, and everybody's got their meal. All right, you can have the car parked outside with the bow on it, so when she comes out, it's right there. That would be so cool. And so all you have to do is surprise the mom in your life, yeah, with the 2014 Acura RLX or the RDX. Just give TJ a call at 942-4555. I'm sure. You know, give him a call. He'll figure something out for you. Did you hear the jet? You heard the jet, didn't you? That's why the phone was going crazy. Stan from Wailuku. Congratulations, Stan. You may win the trip for two to San Francisco. And you're probably saying to yourselves, when is she going to give away the trip for two to San Francisco? We've been doing this forever, it seems. Well, you know, we gave away one, the trip for two on Hawaiian Airlines to San Francisco, four nights in the Palace Hotel, San Francisco. Yes, that is available to the person who is the winner of the drawing. And we're getting qualifiers, and Stan from Wailuku is our most recent qualifier, okay? When, oh, I didn't tell you when. The end of the month. On Saturday, the end of the month. I think that's the 25th. All right. And today is demo day at Ko'olina. Saturday, today, May 11th. I'm looking at this piece of paper going, hey, wait a second, that's today. Yes, everybody's going to be there. TaylorMade, thank you so much for making the balls available to us. Jerry King, TaylorMade. But they've got a whole bunch of people. You can go check them all out. There's a free fitness screening by Hawaii Physical Therapy. You can enter to win a spa package for two at the Ihilani Resort and Spa. So go down there. This is the biennial sale and demo day. Great discounts on the Ladybug logo wear from Nike, Adidas. It's Adidas in German, by the way. EP Pro, many more brands. And they've got styles and brands, men, women, shoes, accessories, golf clubs, and they've got the demo day. Now, when you go to a demo day, you get to check out TaylorMade and Titleist, Callaway and Nike. You can try out the latest equipment, and they also have special demo day pricing. So, let's say a golf club, you know, you want to give your lady, your mother, somebody, Dad's Day is coming up too, a golf club. This would be the day to go check it out. He's been eyeing that particular club, but he's not springing for it, and you can do it. What am I saying he for? She's been eyeing that club, and she's not springing for it. She's probably the one that won't spring for it, so you gotta, okay? Alrighty. All right. Now, speaking of springing for it, I have a friend. His name is Michael Patrick Shields, and he's the star of The Big Show in Michigan. It's Michigan's The Big Show. And he's like on, I don't know, a gazillion radio stations. I'm serious, like 11 or 12. He does the morning show. He went to Florida for the Hall of Fame induction ceremony. And he posted pictures on Facebook. And he's sitting with Colin Montgomery and Fred Couples at the World Golf Hall of Fame. He's interviewing them. So I get to interview Michael Patrick Shields about what it was like interviewing Fred Couples and Colin Montgomery. Welcome to the show, Michael Patrick Shields.
Well, aloha. How nice to talk to you again.
It's good to have you on my show. You know, I love
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Absolutely. You're my golf
honor.
Club travel guru extraordinaire. Wait a second. Now, I was reading something else on Facebook. This guy, he's on his way. He's just come from Florida to Arizona. Now you're back in Michigan, aren't you?
I am for the moment, yeah.
Yeah, right. He's going to Putnam Bay, Mackinac Island, Kennebunkport, and Ireland in June. My goodness.
Yeah, that's just all before the 4th of July, that's all. Wish I was coming to Hawaii, or it'd
yeah,
be fun too.
Yeah, I wish you were too. I said I'd carry your luggage. I'm Porterage available here.
Hey, wait a minute. I'm not the one who went to the Masters this year.
All right. Yes, it's true. I was at the Masters. Where were you? We had a bet. We had a deal that if I showed up at the Masters, he would show up. And guess who didn't show? He went to Paris.
Yeah, I did. I had a tough choice. It was a very tough choice.
It really was. Michael Patrick, you go to Paris, I go to the Masters, I'm looking for you at dinner, you know, I mean, and you weren't there.
We are two ships that pass in the night. I was there last year, and I missed you this year.
Yeah, okay.
But
well,
I'll tell you what, I read your column about it, and I felt like I was there with you. It was so nicely written, and so enthusiastic.
Thank you. No, I had a ball, you know, I had a really good time. And it was just a very, very interesting experience to be. And I'm glad I was alone, because I wouldn't want to be with someone two people who didn't know what was going on. And, you know, this way, when you're on your own, you're kind of like, you know, you're taking control of the situation. And the Waffle House was awesome.
You know, it's funny you say that, because sometimes the best, most memorable travel experiences I've had have been by myself.
Yeah.
Because it forces you to sort of meet new people and
let
you set your own agenda. And so I'm glad you... Would you go back again?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going back. No doubt about it. No doubt. Because now I know how to do it. That's part of the reason I wrote the column. You can find it at radiogolfclub.com, and then you go...
But you paid a lot of money.
Yes, you did. I paid a fortune. I'll be paying it for a year.
Oh, I got you. Okay. Wow.
No, it was very expensive. But I know, I learned. See, and that's what I was trying to pass on to people to read. So you can learn, you know, what to do. And yeah, the badges. And I love that. You do need those stinking badges. a line from a movie. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about going to the Hall of Fame. Let's get serious about golf now. The Hall of Fame induction ceremony. Here we had, we'll talk. Can you talk with me a little bit about Vijay Singh too? Just a little.
Sure.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay. So, we've got Ken Schofield, Colin Montgomery. Now we've got three Scots in the World Golf Hall of Fame, right? I thought that was kind of cool. Ken Venturi, Fred Couples. Mm-hmm. Inducted with Willie Park. Willie Park, Jr., a golf course architect, 170 courses. He won the British Open twice, had a successful golf equipment company. He was into exporting. Golf was going global back then in 1887. He designed golf equipment, and he was a golf writer. Now, of all the people, I like all of the people who were inducted. They all were deserving people. But really, Willie Park has the best record of all of them.
Unfortunately, he only missed being there by 85 years or something like that.
Something like that, right. Uh-huh.
Some of his descendants were there, and that was kind of cool.
Well, were they really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, well, that's...
The only people who didn't show up were any of the male inductees ever. And, you know, I think part of the reason they put that event on Monday of Players Championship Week is because it's only 20 miles or so from Sawgrass, and they presume that some of the people who've been inducted who are coming for the tournament might show up, but not a single one did, because at the beginning they introduced, you know, whoever's in the room, and it was all LPGA players who'd been inducted.
Why is that? Why aren't these guys... See, I'm wondering if it's too easy to get into the Hall of Fame. And that's why the guys who are in don't take it serious enough to go and show up and say, yeah, I'm a member. I'm a proud member.
Well, Fred Couples made some allusion to the fact that they were at a corporate outing somewhere. And he didn't seem too bothered by it, but he did mention it. So, you know, they're monkeying with the idea of changing the date now.
Okay, they're monkeying the idea with changing the date. But see, I still don't think that really takes care of the problem. I don't think they are proud enough of their accomplishment, of being in the Hall of Fame. It's,
well, there's, you know, in Phil Mickelson's case, still a very active player. He was inducted last year.
Too young.
The year before that.
Yeah.
Also, you know, he won the British Open after he was inducted in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. It just doesn't make any sense to me that
you only have to be 40. When you hit the age of 40, you can be inducted, and so that's why, you know, the very second Tiger Woods turns 40, he'll be inducted. Will his hair? I don't know. Good question.
Ken Schofield, great man.
Yeah.
You know, he just all the things he's done for the European Tour, the way he grew that tour, you know, and Ken Venturi, I should have been inducted a couple years ago. You know, then he would have been there.
Yeah, most people say that, and that he couldn't be there because he's very, and I mean very ill from what I hear. They did offer him the opportunity to come back next year, and let's just hope and pray there is a next year for him.
Exactly. So it seems like they're either inducting him way too young just to have this sexy star thing going on, and I don't know, I don't think you need to put that kind of a picture on the bow on it. You know, we've got sexy Fred Couples going in, and that's why it's a really great... I just think you water it down, and then the people who are actually Hall of Fame members don't feel like they've really earned something. What about a point system? LPGA, I mean, you know, it's just amazing. Laura Davies is not a member yet of the Hall of Fame. And here she is, because she's what, a couple of points shy of making, you get points for a major, you get points for a win, and if you get enough points, you become a Hall of Fame member. So there's a really clear cut. This is what gets you in.
And I don't like that, though, do you? I mean, I think there's more to being in the Hall of Fame than how much you win. And I would rather have them, the voters, have the flexibility of picking someone who was popular or gave back to the game or, you know, I mean, it's not just about wins and losses. That would, to me, would make it very boring.
Okay, and I'll grant you that. You know, it is too cut and dry, maybe, you know, but it just seems like there needs to be... It needs to be more of a special honor for the guy. I was embarrassed that no one from the Hall of Fame, and they were all there in 20-mile radius. You know, they could have gotten there. Those active players could have been there. And I don't understand. How's Ben Wright?
He's 81 years old, and we actually had him sit in on the broadcast with us. He came and he got some nice recognition from Colin Montgomery and Fred Couples during the events on the weekend, so he was really happy about that. And, you know, it was really fun because Colin Montgomery, you know, he's not very well liked in the United States, but I think that people, the more they get to know him now because he's going to play the American Champions Tour, are going to start to like him. And he was the person who was by far the most charming on the weekend, because there are events that go on through the weekend, and then Monday is the induction and the party and all that. He was just an absolute charmer and a really, really nice, humble fella.
I've always felt that from him. I've never thought he was stuck up. I don't know what started the problem with Colin. Can you take us back?
Yeah, I asked him that. I said, how come, you know, you're so charming, and yet the American people just really, you know, he said, well, I gave them an inch, and they took a yard. Meaning, you know, he had one little temper tantrum, not a tantrum, but he reacted to a heckler, and once they realized they could get his goat, then it was more fun to do it. And, you know, he looked intense and grumpy. Remember they called him Mrs. Doubtfire?
Yes.
And so, you know, then when he, and of course, the other reason not to like him if you're an American is he just demolished America in every Ryder Cup he ever played in or captained, to the point that he never lost a singles match.
That's right.
In 9 tries. And so, I mean, he was villainous if you want to look at it from a USA versus Europe standpoint.
Yeah, you know, and he doesn't smile. You know, what he does is he's got kind of that Tiger Woods thing going on. Either you love him or you hate him. And since it's the Ryder Cup where he comes in and hurts us, we choose to make him the villain. You know, but he went to American college. That's the other funny thing. You know, when you went to a U.S. college, you think the Americans would kind of embrace him. Usually they do. And, you know, Luke Donald, he's American, isn't he?
He told a beautiful story about how he, you know, how his life might have been quite different in that he, you know, his father was the secretary manager of Troon Golf Club in Scotland there. And so he grew up around golf. And he was going to go to work for IMG as a sports agent. And so they arranged a meeting at Turnberry, and they said, well, you know how sometimes they will with job interviews? They say, well, we'll play 9 holes and talk about it. So they went and played the inward half at Turnberry as a kind of a job interview, you know. And Colin, while he's talking to them about the job, shot 31 coming in. And when they got to the clubhouse, he says, well, what do you think? And they said, oh, you're not coming to work for us. We're going to work for you. And they represented him and sent him out on tour, and the rest is history.
Okay, there's a big lesson in that, okay? Number one, if you are playing in a job interview with a potential boss and you're not at the caliber of golfer Colin Montgomery is, do not beat your potential boss.
Yeah.
Okay? But since you were, I think when Colin was talking about that, he said he was out of, like, playing out of his mind. He didn't.
Yeah.
He didn't know that he was playing as well as he was, right?
That's what he said.
Yeah. So, you know, be very aware when you're playing. I can't remember what the name of it is, but there's a way of playing where you know, you always lose by 2 strokes when you're with a client.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Corporate.
Yeah, corporate golf. Now, how about
I don't ever have to worry about that because I never threaten to win anything.
Me neither. So we're perfect together. Fred Couples. How was Freddie as an interview?
He's just a wonderful guy and very casual. You know, when he walks into the room, everybody gets mellow, and he's just a lot of fun. And you know, he was nervous. Nervous isn't the word, but we're sitting there on my morning show, Monday morning, in the lobby of the hotel where the Hall of Fame is, on the air. It's Jim Nance and Fred Couples and myself and Ben Wright. Now, I just landed in heaven as far as I'm concerned, because we're having a nice little roundtable discussion and having some yucks. In fact, we were drinking some of Jim Nance's wine at that hour.
For the morning,
and,
huh?
Tasting wine in the morning, I found out, is the right time to taste it because your palate hasn't been messed up all day with other things.
That's a great excuse.
Yeah, thank you. I like it. So, you know, they were fooling around and talking with each other, and, you know, Couples and Nance have known each other since they were roommates in college, and Jim was going to be inducting him into the Hall of Fame, and Fred hadn't written his speech yet, and so they were going to spend the day together kind of figuring out what Fred wanted to say, because he doesn't like to give speeches, and it's not his kind of thing, and he'll just say, I'll be glad when it's over. He said, I wish I could just pull up a chair and have questions and answers, and that would be a lot better. And I said, well, wait, we got Dean Beeman on the line, and we brought him on the line, and we said, is it okay if he has a Q&A instead of a speech? And he said, doesn't bother me. So we had some fun, but he, you know, when he did give his speech, basically he talked about other people and what they'd done for him, and he got emotional. I don't know if you watched it.
I did.
Where Mr. Cool couldn't quite get the words out.
At the end was so, you know, the coolest day of my life, and he obviously his hands up to his head, you know, and I don't cry, and he's in his girlfriend's arms, and you know, it was very, very touching. He's Mr. Cool, and everybody gets really mellow. That was a great line, Michael Patrick Shields, the Michigan show. It's the big show. I always want to say Michigan State Radio. Is that wrong?
Well, we're headquartered in the Capitol, but we are on all over the state. Nothing you can say is wrong when it's your show.
I'll remember that. Yes. Anybody listening? FCC? It's my show. I can say whatever I want. Let me just do this really quick for them. KPUA Hilo, KGU Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo. So we're on 4 stations, but I think, Michael, you're on 12 or 13?
Yeah, but we're in Michigan. I mean, you're in Hawaii. You know that. I'd rather be on a shoebox in Hawaii.
Well, you got to come over. When you were going to go, you were going to stay at Ihilani, but you went to Paris instead. Why didn't you come to Ihilani?
They're sorting it out somehow. It has to do with the timing and the date.
There's a chance you'll be here?
Yeah, in fact, I should send them a message today and say I still want to do that because I haven't been to that part of Oahu, and I really would like to see it.
Excellent. You can follow Michael Patrick Shields and his travels through TravelTattler.com. That's TravelTattler, TATTLER.com. So tell us where Putin Bay is.
Well, that's in an island. It's the Hawaiian islands of Lake Erie, if you want to put it that way. It's a resort island in Lake Erie, and I'll be going there next. I should remind people, though, that if you want to go to the Hall of Fame, there's a Renaissance Hotel there, and it's attached to the Hall of Fame, and there's a shopping district with the world's largest golf shop, all built around a lake. They have two golf courses, the Slammer and Squire and King and Bear.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's designed by Palmer and Nicholson. It's a really good golf trip if you're interested then, because you can spend half the day in the Hall of Fame and play golf and come back and visit again, because it takes a while to get through that Hall of Fame if you love golf. And so it's a really neat trip, something different, you know, if you're going to the continental United States. And it's very near Sawgrass, so you could play that too and have just a whale of a good trip.
Yeah, so isn't that the only course where that Renaissance Hotel is that Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus designed together?
Yes. And,
yeah.
It's King and Bear. It's awfully nice, playable, and, you know, you fly into Jacksonville. And then plus you've got St. Augustine right there, America's oldest city, and that has a lot of charm in its way, too. So that's
excellent.
A destination you don't maybe hear that much about, but it's certainly worth a visit.
Worth a visit and lots of great golf and fun, and go to the World Golf Hall of Fame and see the displays where Vijay Singh has Sonic Golf, which he used to perfect the tempo of his swing. Yeah, what do you think about Vijay suing the... do you think that was his idea? That's the only thing I really want to know. Do you think it was really Vijay Singh's idea to sue the PGA Tour?
It'd be pure speculation, but if it wasn't his idea, I think he liked the idea a lot. You remember, he's the guy who, when he was leaving Augusta National after winning the Masters in the parking lot, turned around and gave the finger to the clubhouse.
That's right.
Yeah, he's got a chip on his shoulder, it seems, about these kind of things. And, you know, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but I think it's in his makeup to sort of be a little bit spiteful like that. I don't know if he's justified or not, but if you ask me, if I think it was his idea, it either was his idea or he jumped on it.
Yeah, right. Okay, got it. Got it. All right. You remind me of these things, you know, the nasty things he said about Annika Sorenstam and other things.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. One of them wasn't enough, but that finger, that, yeah. Okay, that did it. All right. Yeah, sure, it was his idea. Okay. Next, Mackinac Island. Where's Mackinac?
Oh, Mackinac Island is in Michigan. They call it Pure Michigan. It's in the straits between the lower and upper peninsula. There are no vehicles allowed, only horses and bikes.
Really?
And Grand Hotel is up there, a great old-fashioned wooden hotel.
Wow.
And it's in a real escape and a hideaway, and that's right here in Michigan. You can't miss it.
You can't miss it. Michigan's a pretty big state, but I'll find it. Okay, Mackinac Island. Then you're going to Kennebunkport. What are you going to do there? You're going to go visit the Kennedys?
Well, the Bushes are in Kennebunkport.
Oh, that's right. What am I saying?
They are the modern-day Kennedys, for sure, though. The Republican Kennedys, if you will.
Right.
I'm on the committee for the George Herbert Walker Bush Celebrity Golf Tournament, and so that takes place at Cape Arundel Golf Club, very near Walker's Point, where the Bush home is. And so we have a charity event there, and I broadcast from it, and we have celebrity players and auction off presidential memorabilia, and it's a fun place and a really quaint place, too, up there near Portland, Maine.
It sounds beautiful. You have celebrities on your show, and how much does it cost to play this event?
It's $3,000 a foursome, but it goes to a good cause in the hospital in Portland there, and Mercy Hospital, and you're playing at the President's Golf Club, which really would surprise a lot of people if you got there and saw how quaint, old-fashioned. It's a screen door kind of clubhouse, and lots of history in there. It's not fancy by any means. It's like the Bushes are, you know, they're not in your face, they're not over the top, they're very understated, and it's open to the public, so you can go play there anytime you want.
Excellent. And then you're going off to Ireland.
Going to the Irish Open outside Dublin there, and it's at Carton House this year, and I see that Graham McDowell and I think Howard Harrington are coming too, and I'm not sure about Rory, I'd have to look, but I've spent some time in Dublin and go down to the European Club and play lots of golf around there and basically have about a 9-day bender, which I'm due for.
A 9-day bender?
Yeah.
Do you start, so you know that you're going to start with wine for breakfast, right? So that your palate is...
I don't think about wine in Ireland too much, but, I got Mother's Milk, the Guinness, and the Jameson, and, we'll work it out.
I just was wondering which one of those would work for breakfast. You know, I think wine is closer to orange or grape juice. It's something, a juicy thing for breakfast. I'm just thinking about your health, Michael Patrick.
Oh, well, you know, the Irish breakfast is the best meal you have there during the day.
What is it?
With white and black pudding and sausage and eggs and beans and tomatoes and brown bread. And you put all that on a plate. It's called a fry-up.
Okay.
Once you eat that, you're thirsty till about 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
And that sounds like a nice barley brew would go along with that.
Oh yeah, no question. I wish it was tomorrow. I was going now.
You're going to go tomorrow. Will be soon. It'll be very soon. Thanks so much for being on the show with me.
Well, enjoy the Island Green 17th today. We're going to have a lot of fun watching this weekend at the Sawgrass, and just everybody remember, that's a course you can go and play, TPC Sawgrass. Take your shot at it. Just get on the jet plane and go to Florida.
And tell me, who are you behind? Are you taking Sergio? Let's just start with just Tiger Woods and Sergio Garcia.
If I could pick the two, I would give it to Sergio.
Sergio, okay. And now, who's your favorite playing right now? Who do you think is going to come out of the pack? It's only Saturday.
Yeah. I think it will be a two-horse race, and I think it'll be those two down the stretch. And
really?
That's what happens. Thoroughbreds play hard. But it's funny, you know, that young guy, Castro, what did he shoot, 63?
Oh, 63.
78?
Yeah, I know. Hey,
How do you do that?
Overwhelmed by what you did the day before and can't remember how you did it. So
for me, that's like shooting 98 and 112.
Well, how did you do it?
Yeah.
Had a bad day.
Well, you know, you've played holes where you've had one shot, you hit a nice drive, and then you know that quacker's coming that's going to put you in the bunker or something like that. So I guess it's all relative, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Michael Patrick Shields, Michigan's the big show host. He's the golf club's travel guru extraordinaire, and you can read all about his travels at traveltattler.com. Thanks for being on the show, Michael Patrick.
Mahalo.
Aloha. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is the Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
To demonstrate the nimble driving characteristics of this new Acura RDX, we're recording this radio commercial from inside the cabin while being driven by a professional stunt driver. All right, let me open the window here. Listen to the power of the RDX's new V6 engine with 273 horsepower. Now you're experiencing the agility of this deceivingly big crossover. Let's not forget the RDX is also equipped with standard moonroof, Bluetooth phone connectivity, and a 360-watt 7-speaker premium audio system. And it has standard leather seats. Unfortunately, hang on, I really can't get any sound out of these seats. See your Acura dealer for exceptional offers and test drive the new RDX today.
See your Hawaii Acura dealer in Honolulu and Kahului, Maui for the season's best offers on the 2013 Acura RDX. Choosing an Acura just makes sense.
In the security business, trust is earned over time. That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star. Star Protection Agency.
Yeah, yeah. A mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
I'm going to be playing golf this weekend at Pearl Country Club, and I asked my friends that I'll be playing with to do me a favor and, you know, give me some slack because I'm going to play terribly. And I just, I'm not setting myself up for a bad round. I'm going to probably do really, really, really great the first or second hole, you know, and then all this stuff happens when you haven't practiced in a while, you haven't played in a while, and you just, you know, it just, stuff happens. So just, you know, I'm not setting them up to think that I'm good, because I'm not. And, you know, they said, I got a response here. Golf is about having fun, great scenery, and awesome company. Yes. But I was also told that loser pays, so then he goes on to say, oh, wait, are we playing for lunch? Hey, no worries. I'll pay for lunch. Let's just start that from the gate, okay? I want that great scenery, that good company, and the fun. That's what I'm about when it comes to playing golf. Poipu has a great tee time for two. It's a deal for couples. From 1 to 150, you can play the course, the two of you, twosomes, and it's basically 50% off the rate. It's a great time to play Poipu Bay Golf Course. And for Mother's Day, in addition to that fabulous deal, the T for Two deal, call them, you can win a round of golf at Poipu Bay. That's right, a round of golf at Poipu Bay. Plus, you're saying to yourself, okay, you know, I need some golf balls to really get around Poipu Bay Golf Course. Well, if you're the ninth caller, not only do you win the round of golf at Poipu Bay that, of course, you're going to give to Mom for Mother's Day, you'll win also tailor-made rocket balls. That's right, to help you get around that course, okay? All you got to be is the ninth caller. Now, I'm a little concerned because I have a guest calling in, and I'm hoping this is Laird Small now, because Laird is in, he was just finishing a teaching class that he works, he's at Pebble Beach, Golf Academy. So I'm hoping that he'll get in, okay? But I have to do this because Poipu Bay, they gave us these great rounds of golf to play for folks who win this contest. So, absolutely. Laird Small is a really great guy, and he's got it's a robot, a piece of equipment that you can, it's difficult to describe, you need to go see it, and what you do is you put your they design it so that it's your height and your body type, and then the robot takes your arms and shows you where to put the swing. So you don't have to think about, am I doing the swing right? Am I far enough in my backswing? Am I too far in my backswing? What am I doing? It shows it to you. It's a wonderful piece of equipment. So I'm hoping that he'll be able to call in. Today is, he's calling now on my cell phone. Excuse me just a second. Mr. Small, this is Danielle Tucker. We're on the air, but not because you're on my cell phone. Can you call the studio line? That would be, yes. No problem. It's 808. Oh, thank you. Okay. All right. So he's going to be calling in just a second. So what we need to do is clear that phone line so he can call in. And, of course, right now we've got Chaz furiously writing down the winner of the, so you can stop calling because we already have our winner for the Poipu Bay round of golf and the rocket balls from TaylorMade. Demo day at Ko'olina today, and that starts, I believe, at 9 o'clock. That's when the sale starts. If you're looking for a Mother's Day present and you want to go play golf, you want to take care of everything all at once, they've got a great sale. In fact, so does Poipu Bay. They've got a 30% off sale in the pro shop for mom. So get over there, get something for mom, and you can also get logo wear at Ko'olina, Nike, Adidas, EP Pro, a lot of brands, Maui Jim, they've got some latest styles there, and their demo day featuring the equipment from TaylorMade and Titleist and Callaway and Nike, so try out their latest equipment and get that special demo day pricing that we all love. You'll be able to try out all the latest equipment there. So we've got, I believe, Laird Small. He's the director of the Pebble Beach Golf Academy. And it's interesting, at the Pebble Beach Golf Academy, each person who teaches, goes through a full year of certification. That includes being taught the short game, the long game, like they didn't know already, but they learn it again to make sure that everything, golf concepts, course strategy, putting, the mental and physical aspects of the game, video analysis, guest satisfaction, a whole lot more, all taken care of. So this is another destination. Everybody wants to go to Pebble Beach. And if you're at Pebble Beach, you want to play Pebble Beach. You might like to play Spyglass. You would have probably liked to go for a little tune-up when you get there. And the Pebble Beach Golf Academy is the place to go. 2003 PGA National Teacher of the Year, 2013, 2014 Top 100 Teacher in America, Golf Digest's Top 50, Top 20, Golf Magazine's Top 100. Welcome to the show, Laird Small.
Thank you very much. It's wonderful to be on here with you.
Did you start off as a caddy?
Yes, I did. I actually did. And the funny story about it is one day my person I was working for asked me, what club should I hit from there? And I had no idea. Yeah, I really didn't. I was just out there to help, to earn some money so I could buy my car. And so I went back to the golf shop and I decided to take the money that I would make from caddying to take lessons. And at that time, it was $3.75 for an 18-hole loop.
Wow.
So, it was quite different than it is today. But that's what I would do. And I actually took that and invested in myself. I didn't realize it at the time, but I did. And it helped lead me to here.
And here, you are the director of the Pebble Beach Golf Academy, and certainly, if somebody says, what club should I use? I bet you...
Oh, there's a lot of different ways to do that one, yeah.
Exactly.
I got it now.
You got it now.
Without any problem.
In fact, Laird Small has a book out called Play Golf the Pebble Beach Way, with a foreword by Jim Nance. And you walk... It takes you through Pebble Beach, right? And you sort of learn to play the course?
Well, yeah, it's really interesting. When I looked at all the books that were on the marketplace, they were all books about instruction and about how to position the clubs in a certain way and how to shift your weight and how to, you know, do all this stuff. And there was enough of that information out there, but there really wasn't anything about how to play the game. And so what I wanted to do was to show people how to play the game out on the golf course. Because back in the old days, before they had really driving ranges and learning centers, people learned on the golf course. They learned in the environment in which they're playing.
Yes.
And I think that that's missed right now because people try to learn the game on driving ranges, which is very different than on the golf course. So I used Pebble Beach as the classroom, and I created lessons out there on the golf course that are evergreen for any golf course in the world wherever you're playing. But it talks about how to bounce back, how to deflect, how to bounce back when you hit a bad shot, how to deflect the outcome. And I use an acronym called NATO, N-A-T-O. You know, not attached to outcome,
So,
which can help you actually learn how to play the game and not get in the way of yourself. Because when we're out there playing golf, you know, we get into judgment so much. You know, I like this shot, I didn't like that, or you're a chop or a hack, you should never hit that shot. And we never stand in observation of the shots. And when we stand in observation, all of a sudden different things can open up for us. We can start to feel what we did in the swing. We can start to appreciate being out on the golf course a little bit more. And actually learning can help take place. So it also got lessons from, I've been lucky enough to hang around with some of the greats of the game and would do golf schools with Jack Nicklaus when I was part of the Nicklaus Flick golf staff, and Tom Watson would be part of, you know, come in and do some lessons, and would learn so much from them. And they also were kind enough to make some contributions to the book from their own different little aspects. Tom Kite has become a student of mine, which is, I feel so lucky, and he made some wonderful contributions about how to play the game.
Wow.
So it really is about how to play the game. It's very different than any other book that's on the market. It's evergreen. It lasts forever because it tackles a different subject. It tackles about how to play. It talks about how to bounce back, how to look at course architecture. It talks about some basic concepts in green reading. So it just works on things that people will face day in and day out.
I was in love with the book when I in the process, he teaches you how to manage your first tee jitters. I went, really?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. You know, and everybody has them. And that's part of NATO. And it's deflect. What you have to do is kind of deflect the outcome. And what happens is you're hitting the shot, but your mind's attention is someplace else. So can you get right back to, you know, hitting the shot where you want to hit the ball? And, you know, play wonderful players on tour have a whole different attitude about that because they go through the same things. You know, they get nervous on the first tee of all the whenever they play, especially in major championships. And but they're always behind the ball. They're always looking at where they want the ball to go. But they're talking in positive terms. I want the ball to go here. I'm going to set up on this side of the tee. I'm going to use this type of swing to hit the ball, you know, where I want it to go. And they also know that if the ball doesn't go exactly where they want, it's okay because they know how to recover. They know how to bounce back. And, you know, a lot of times we don't look at it that way. And it's also playing with a game that you have. And one of the ways to talk about this is, you know, if there's a difference between a player and a golfer. And a quick example is if somebody slices the ball and they slice it 8 out of 10 times, well, that's pretty consistent. It's pretty repetitive. And what a player would do is they're going to aim to the left side of the fairway, hit their shot, and allow it to bleed into the fairway. You know, but what a golfer does is they say, well, maybe this is the one that goes straight. They aim in the middle of the fairway, and they stand up in the middle of the tee box, they hit their ball, and it slices out of bounds, and they get mad and frustrated.
Exactly.
So there's a huge difference. So kind of understanding those things, and it's really kind of an education. And once you kind of understand where you are, you can start to make a change.
Yeah, and you can play to your strengths. If the slice is your strength, if that's what you do, then play to it. Use it.
If you look at all the clubs around the world, the players that have the clubs that have club championships and everything, a majority of the time, the player that doesn't necessarily always have the best swing wins the club championship all the time because they know how to play. And sometimes players with a great swing don't win those because, you know, they're not. You know, they don't know how to play the game yet. They may have a pretty looking swing, but they don't know how to make it effective and how to play.
So when you're watching, let's say, the Players Championship, TPC Sawgrass, today, and you think, wow, you know, this guy's got such an awesome swing, he guaranteed, but if you can't, just because you got a pretty swing doesn't mean you're going to make it on the PGA Tour. And
exactly right. There's a lot more to it than that.
Yeah.
It's about how to play the game, about how to, you know, acquire a skill. It's about practicing in the way that, you know, you can make error corrections. All the guys on tour, and the gals as well, when the wheels fall off the wagon, in other words, they start hitting bad shots in the middle of the round, which happens to everybody, right? They got good nine holes going, and all of a sudden the wheels fall off the wagon. How do they fix it? The guys and gals on tour make a living know how to fix it, and the better ones fix it right away. In other words, they fix it on the next ball.
Yeah.
Right. They know how to do that. It's
because
just like,
they practice NATO, which is like they let go of that bad shot and they fix whatever the problem they've gotten themselves into.
Right. Yeah.
And move on. Yeah.
If somebody has a flat tire and they know how to change the tire, it's no big deal. They can just, if it's a little bit of an interruption and they fix the tire and on they go. But if they don't know how to do it, they're stuck on the side of the road waiting for somebody to come and help them.
Precisely. Speaking of fixing or learning something, a friend of mine, Scott and I, put me in touch with you, and I'm really appreciative because I'm really enjoying our conversation, and it's far too short. We only have a couple more minutes. But you're using that tour-bound golf training robot.
Oh, it is so spectacular.
Really?
It is the most awesome thing. And what it is a robot, but it's different than anybody would think. And they can, it has a grip to it, a golf grip, and we can set it up for any kind of swing that you want, any stature, and we actually move the player through the correct cycle of their swing. So the club is perfectly on plane, and what happens is people can start to distinguish the feel from where they are to where they need to be. And see, all of us are field players. The first comment that somebody says is, well, I'm a field player. I'm not a mechanical player, and they think the robot's mechanical. No, the robot speaks the total language of feel, because what happens is players that got the game have the right feel. Those that struggle with the game have an erroneous feel, and the robot helps to correct it. We had a gentleman here. We do a lot of group outings, and we had a gentleman from Southwest Airlines here, and he was a very weak 9 handicapper. You know, he was on a great day, he played his handicap. He goes out to Pebble after spending some time on the robot and with Scott and myself, and he shoots 76.
Wow.
And he was beside himself. He filled up my voicemail. I can't delete it. It was so good. It was just so, and but the stories go on and on and on, because people say, I never knew that was happening in the golf swing. And the interesting thing is, we'll tell the person this is what they have to do, and they'll say, oh, I don't know if I believe you or not. There's always an argument, right? Because feel and real are different.
Yeah.
But they get on the robot, and all of a sudden it's like, wow, I never knew the swing should do that. And I'm saying, I just told you to do that 5 minutes ago. How come you didn't, you know, what's part of this conversation?
How come you didn't believe me?
Right. But it's so much fun. And everybody says how intriguing it is and how fascinating it is. And what it allows for, it allows for perfect practice. I have my juniors on here on the robot all the time. I have their swing laid in there. They come out and just do massive reps.
Amazing.
And learning. All of a sudden, we always talk about perfect practice, right? Well, this allows you the opportunity to do perfect practice. We've never really had that before.
Well, we need to continue this conversation, but my show's ending, and this is so much fun. There's so much I wanted to talk to you about, you know, the hitting the driver, the way you need to approach the ball. You got to get it in the air right. A lot of people need, and you've got this great on bunkers, blasted out with one swing. People never talk about coming out of the bunker. We need to do that, but I have to thank the show people. And
I know you do.
Laird Small, director.
It's wonderful to be with you, and thank you so much.
Thank you very much. And
aloha.
You'll be back on again. Congratulations, John from Hilo. You're a qualifier for our trip for two to San Francisco on Hawaiian Airlines. Terry of Hilo, you won the round at Poipu Bay and the Rocket Balls. And let me thank the people who make this show possible. It's brought to you by Acura of Honolulu. Now more than ever, choosing an Acura just makes sense. With this much traffic you need to ride in comfort. The Acura RLX and RLX Advance. Star protection for property threat and risk assessment, protection for your home, your business, whatever you're doing, a concert, get the Star team on your property. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, visually stunning. Nature and Robert Trent Jones Jr. conspired to create that thrilling venue. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2013.